instruments and certainly have enjoyed the good singing to this point. It's good to be in the house of God today. Good to see this fine, fine looking crowd. I was wondering how many ladies were here this morning. I suppose about half the crowd would be considered the feminine crowd. And I just want to say that I certainly appreciate all of you mothers. And I want to mention that I'm grateful that I came from a home where I had a godly mother. And really, my heritage reaches way on back, so far as I know, on both sides of our family. I had godly grandmothers. And then on back, godly great-grandmothers. I don't know how far back it went. But I have a great heritage, and I'm thankful for it. And by the way, we had some godly grandfathers also, and I had a godly father. And I'm married to a godly mother myself. I have a wonderful, wonderful wife, and I thank God for her. I just wish she could be here this morning. Now, I'm sure every one of you have seen a policeman step out in front of oncoming traffic. We have East Rowan School, grammar school and high school, right close to where we are. Many times when I'm coming out from our school, I'm stopped. There's a policeman steps out and he has his lights blinking on his car, and he just steps out there and puts up his hand, and I stop and people behind me stop, and sometimes we wait for quite a while. And you'd wonder, how can a highway patrolman or fellow policemen like that, how can they step out in front of traffic, stop all those cars, stop all of those big trucks, just hold them back? It's certainly not that little policeman that's doing that. But I tell you, friend, it's the authority back of that badge that he's wearing. And that's what makes everything come to a halt. And that's what makes them stop. Now, I struggled through the night over this message. And I just want to say, I wouldn't preach this that I feel God has pressed to my heart. I wouldn't preach this for anything on earth if it wasn't for the backing, if it wasn't for the authority of God's Word and of all heaven that's back of His truth. So I want you to pray. I have some Mother's Day messages, and I would rather have preached one of them. And to some extent, this could be classified as a Mother's Day message. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. And I want to read just a few verses, and then we want to have prayer. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, says, "Likewise, ye wives." Now, that's speaking to people that are married. Some of you young ladies here this morning, you're really wishing that could speak to you. It does. It may be in the future, but he said, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives," or by the consistent Christian walk of the wives, "while they behold your chaste conversation, couple with fear." I had a lady call me up from another state. I knew her and her husband real well. And she called up for prayer and some counsel. She said, "Brother Newton," she said, "you know, I've been married to a man for years that's backslidden. And she broke down on the phone. She said, I don't know what to do. She said, recently I found out that for sure he's seeing some other woman. He's running around. And she said, Brother Newton, do I have to stay with this man? I said to her, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 and 11, I said, perhaps not. You probably have every right in the world to leave him. But I said, because he's been unfaithful to you, I said, that never gives you a right to remarry. I said, you'll have to go it alone if you leave him. I said, by the way, I said, he's been backslidden for years. And I said, you've lived with him to this point. I said, my advice to you, I said, if I were you, I'd just continue to live a good, godly life. And I would remain with him. I said, it might be that you might win him to Christ. She took my advice. She stayed with him. And you know, it wasn't but a few months after that, he came down with terminal cancer. He didn't live but 3 or 4 months. But during that time, he prayed clear through. He got to God and left a tremendous testimony before he left this world. That woman was shouting happy. She was so glad that she remained with him and saw him through to victory in his soul. While they behold your chaste conversation, your holy walk with Christ coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel. You know, God never intended for his saints to look like clowns or Jezebels. He said, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now, you ladies, if you want some expensive jewelry, this is expensive jewelry. It's that's on the inside, a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. I have a sister-in-law on my wife's side. And she's married to my wife's brother. And for years they've been at odds with one another. I mean, they live under the same roof and go to the same church, and he's a big worker in the church. But I tell you, she never has a good thing to say about him. And they're just so crossed up. I don't see how people live like that. So crossed up with one another. One day she was giving him shillelagh. We were up at my wife's house. And I looked at her and I said, Deanie, I said, why don't you just do what the Bible says? I said, why don't you humble yourself before your husband and call him Lord? She said, what? She said, is that in the Bible? I said, it certainly is. She said, not in the King James Version. She said, it must be in another version. No, I said, Deanie, it's in the King James Version. And I said, you'd be a lot better off if you'd just take your role as a wife and humble yourself and call him Lord. Well, she didn't take to that at all. Verse 6. Doesn't that make you wonder? I wonder, just what does that mean? Even as Sarah also obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. So checking that out, it actually means if you do the same, you will be following in her steps like good daughters and doing what is right. then you will not need to fear offending your husbands. Verse 7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. There it is again. Looks like I could get away from these walls and barriers. But I tell you, if there's any kind of a wall or a barrier between you and your husband, if there's anything there that shuts off communication, and friend, your prayers won't get above the ceiling. They'll be hindered. Well, let's pause right here. I want all the women to stand. All the women, if you will, girls, young people, just stand up. My, such a good-looking crowd this morning. Now, the men are not allowed to say amen this morning. But you women can shout if you want to. When I had a pastor, he preached, and he would say, beauty is skin deep, but ugly is to the bone. Beauty soon fades away, but ugly holds its own. And he would preach to our crowd, and he'd say, now, if you're pretty, he said, you shout. No, I got that wrong. He said, if you're pretty, you pray. He said, if you're ugly, shout. So I want to say to you this morning, women, while the men keep silence, you can shout if you want to. I want all of you women, I want all of you just to bow your head for a moment. Now, don't catch up on your praying, but just pray in unison. Just pray that God will help us this morning as we try to preach. Amen. You may be seated. Keep praying for us as we try to preach. After praying and seeking the Lord, I felt the Lord wanted us to talk to you along this line. And I believe it will be of help to mothers. I believe it will be a help to fathers. I believe it will be a help to unmarried daughters and maybe even the unmarried sons. I know that it will be of help to the church if we will walk in the light of this truth. Now, I don't know how to start this off. I think I'll just start off by telling you that my wife and I will be married 54 years this coming July the 24th if we live. And I know some people, They get a big question mark in their mind when I make this statement. But we've been married for almost 54 years, and we've never had a fight. No one in our house, we've never struck at one another. And just to be honest with you, I don't think we've ever had a real fuss. You say, well, wait a minute now, Brother Newton. I've heard him say, if you'll lie about that, you'll lie about anything. Well, I'm not lying to you. Know, one lady said, she said, my husband and I said, we've been married a whole year and we've never had a quarrel. She said, if a difference of opinion comes up and I'm right, she said, why, he just gives in. Someone said to her, but suppose your husband is right. Oh, she said, that has never occurred. But my wife and I have been married for all these years, and we've never had what I would call a real fuss. I don't believe God intended for his people to fuss, bicker, quarrel, fight. I've seen some professing Christians home. I mean, they fuss and fight and throw each other against the wall and carry on something awful. Pastor went to visit some of his parishioners one time, and he walked up on the porch. And boy, he heard all of this carrying on the inside. And all of a sudden, while he was standing there listening, the front door opened up, and this fellow came rushing out and just landed right in his arms. The guy looked up at him and laughed real big, said, ha, ha. I said, we have a lot of fun around here. That's a good way to brush it off, isn't it? God never intended for his people, those that are saved and walking with God and sanctified, he never intended for us to fuss and quarrel and bicker. And so you say, well, wait a minute now, preacher. Said, you mean you and your wife never had a disagreement? No, I didn't say that. We've had a lot of disagreements. But if we have a disagreement, if something comes up and it's controversial, or, you know, if I see that in our conversation it could lead to a quarrel, you know what I do? I just back off. I get real quiet. Not too many women will fuss with themselves. And, you know, I decided if my wife wants to be wrong, no, that's not what I decide. You see, a woman has a sixth sense about her. And she has an intuition. And fellas, you'll have to admit, about 90% of the time, the woman, when it all pans out, she comes out right. So I just back off and get real quiet. Because when it all pans out, I don't want to be embarrassed. And so that stops the fussing or quarreling. I want to say this. The devil has laid many a foundation in our lives. He's tried his best to lay a foundation, to build a wall upon, just to put a barrier between my wife and I. But we decided years ago that we were not going to let the devil build any kind of a wall or barrier between us. And so many, many times I've backed off when I saw something that I couldn't figure out, or there was just a little coolness. And I humble myself. She's done the same thing over and over again. And friend, we talk about it. We work it out. The Bible says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. I mean, we don't let the sun go down. We get it all discussed and find out what the trouble is. And if I need to apologize, I ask for forgiveness. And she does the same thing. You know, if my wife were here this morning, I'd be telling you the same thing. Did you know, to my knowledge, there's not enough between my wife and I for a chigger to set its heel down on? And friend, it's good to live that way. But let me say to you young married couples here this morning, let me say something to you. It didn't just happen that way. The reason we don't fuss or quarrel or bicker is because we worked at the job. Let me mention to you, I went to school with a fine young preacher that was already married. He was a day student, driving back and forth, and also he was pastoring a church. Everyone looked up to him. Such a fine, stalwart young man and a good preacher. I really loved that young man. I guess he'd pastored for 6-8 years. I was already out of Bible school. And I got word one day that that man had left his wife and run off with another woman in the church. It hit me so hard I couldn't hardly stand it. I said, this can't be true. You know, I even went to the trouble to look them up. I found out where they were shacked together, and I went to see them, knocked on the door, finally got them both to the door. And I let him know that I was interested, that I was so... He looked at me so defiant-like. He let me know that he didn't need me. He let me know that he felt like what he was done had done was justified. And he just politely sent me on my way. Friend, that hurt. I was talking to a preacher friend of mine that had held a revival meeting for him. And he said, you know, I'm really not all that surprised. I said, why do you say that? Well, he said, I've never been in a home before. He said, where a woman was on a man's case like that woman was on that preacher's case. He said, every time he'd come in, she was after him about something, arguing, correcting him. He said, she was just on to him. And said, when he'd leave, she was on to him as he went out. You know, just because she was a nagger, just a nagging woman. Friend, that I don't justify what he did in the least. But you know what I believe he could have done? I believe he could have gone to the garage, maybe took out the extension ladder, came around the house. If I'd been him, I'd put it up right in front of the kitchen window, leaning it up against the house. He could have got him a hammer and saw and some 2x4s and started up that ladder. You know, she might have caught on. Because the Bible says it's better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling or nagging woman in a wide house. I mean, that's what the Bible says. Or it's better to dwell up there, build you a little room right on the corner of the housetop. Better to dwell up there than it is in a big, fine, palatial home with a nagging woman. It even says there in Proverbs, 21st chapter, it says that it's better to dwell in the wilderness than with an angry and a contentious woman. I suppose that's why men like to hunt so much. And fish, maybe. I don't know. I want to ask you this morning, ladies. I want to ask you a question. You don't have to answer me. Are you a nagger? Now think about this for a moment. Are you a nagger? Are you? I'm going to make about 3 statements. You don't have to agree with me, but maybe by the end of the service you will. You know, I believe some women, some good women, are naggers, and they're not even aware of it. They just nag. And I'm going to make another statement. I don't believe that it necessarily means that you're carnal because you're a nagger. Oh, my. Said, Brother Newton, how could anybody be a nagger and not be carnal? Well, I had a godly mother. My mother was a godly woman. She was constantly seeking after God. But you know, there were some things when we were coming up, when I was growing up in the home, I couldn't understand. My mother was a nagger. Forgive me, Mom. She's gone on. But my mother was a nagger. My dad was He was a workaholic. He was a tremendous provider. And I don't think she realized what a gem she had. But she was on to Dad about something constantly, and I couldn't understand that. The rest of the children couldn't. But you know, about the last 25 years of her life, something happened. I don't know whether she got help spiritually or maybe she heard some preaching. I don't know what happened, but my mother quit nagging. My dad, in the last 25 years of their life, why? She didn't nag him. So really, friend, I believe that you can be a sanctified individual and maybe not be aware of how much you nag. Not even really. And let me make this statement now. Stay with me. I believe it's just as normal and just as natural for a married woman to become a nagger as it is for her to breathe. Maybe that's an overstatement, but I believe I can prove it with the book. I really do. You remember in the beginning in Genesis chapter 3, you remember how Satan entered the garden in the form of a serpent. He came to our first parents, actually came to Eve. And he said to her, said, "Has God said," put a great big question mark in her mind, "Has God said thou shalt not eat of all the trees of the garden?" Oh yes, she said, "We can eat of all the trees of the garden except one tree, the tree in the midst of the garden, and God has told us, he's commanded us, that we're not to eat of that tree nor touch it lest we die." The serpent said, "You won't surely die." I said, "God knows that in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes will be open, you'll become as gods, and you'll be able to discern between good and evil." So the woman hung around that tree. And she would look at it, and no doubt it was loaded with luscious fruit. And my, it was so pleasant to the eyes and seemed like a tree just good for food and a tree desired to make one wise. So one day she took of the fruit, and the Bible says she did eat and gave to her husband, and he did eat. And sure enough, friend, their eyes were open. The Bible said they knew that they were naked. And so they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the Bible says Adam and his wife hid themselves among the trees of the garden. But God continued to call. He said, "Adam, where art thou? Adam, where art thou?" And finally Adam spoke up and he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden." And he said, "I was afraid because I was naked. And," he said, "I hid myself." The Lord looked at him and said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked?" He said, "Hast thou eaten of the tree that I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat of?" And here's the first place in the Bible where we find the man passing the buck. The man said to God, said the woman that thou gavest to be with me, says, "She gave me and I did eat." And the Lord turned to the woman and said, "What is this that thou hast done?" And she passed the buck. She said, "Oh, it was the serpent. The serpent beguiled me. He deceived me. And I did eat." And you remember what God did. He placed a curse upon the serpent. And I don't know that we need to go into that, but he cursed him above all cattle and the beasts of the field and told him he'd go on his belly and eat of the dust of the ground all the days of his life. Said, "I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel." And then you remember God cursed the man also. He said, "Because you've listened to your wife." He said, "And eaten of the tree that I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat of." He said, "Cursed is the ground for thy sake." He said, "In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life." He said, "It'll bring forth thorns and thistles and said, you'll have to eat of the herb of the field. And then he said to him, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat thy bread until thou return to the ground. In other words, God said to him, Adam, because you've done what you've done, said, you're going to have to be the breadwinner from now on. Said, you're going to have to go out there and make your living by the sweat of your brow. But I want you to notice what he said to the woman in particular. You see, God placed a curse upon her also. And this is what he said. He said to her, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. He said, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now, let me just say to you, friend, I didn't put that in the book. But God did. He said, you're going to bear children and much suffering and affliction. But he said, irregardless, said, you will still welcome your husband's affections. Your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over thee. Are you still with me, ladies? Are you still praying for? Now, when he said, and he shall rule over thee, he didn't mean there that the man was going to be some boss or some tyrant. That's not what it is. You see, when God took a bone from man to form him a beautiful bride, and then he brought her to him, he didn't take that bone out of the man's head so that he could lord it over the woman and be like some tyrant. No, he didn't take the bone out of the foot so that man could kick her around and trample on her. You know where he took that bone from? He took a rib right close up to his heart. And he formed him that beautiful bride. Actually, he took that bone close to her heart so that he could love her with all of his heart, and also so that he could shield her. He could be her protector. Let me read just a few more verses here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul said, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Actually, he's giving us the chain of command. He said, God is at the top, and then you have Christ, and then you have man, and then you have the woman. And any time the chain of command is disturbed, there's terrible results. If a man decides that he's not going to come under his head, he's not going to be obedient to Christ, you know what happens. It's not long till he's eat up with all kind of habits, filthy habits and sin. He becomes a tyrant in the home, and eventually it can break up his home. I'll tell you, there's terrible results if a man breaks out of the chain of command. And you know the same way it is with women. I mean, this woman's, and it's a wicked outfit, this woman's liberation movement that's trying to get women to break away from what God told us in the book. And friend, it's filtered over into the church. But any time, ladies, you break out of the chain of command and decide that you're not going to come under your husband. Did you know the home's going to get into serious trouble? And friend, this is one reason why our homes are in the trouble that they're in today. It's because so much of this woman's liberation movement has filtered into our churches. Notice in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in a few things. No, it doesn't. You said, Brother Newton, I didn't know that you were one of those male chauvinists. I'm not. Friend, I want you to know I believe this book from cover to cover. Amen. I believe God meant what he said. And I still believe that God meant for the wife to be obedient, subject unto their husbands. He said, in everything. That would make all the difference in the world. In our homes. You say, Brother Newton, you don't know what a terrible fellow I'm married to. We'll get to that just a little bit later. You married him. You know, if you read through the book of Proverbs, and this all refers back. It goes back to the fall. It goes back to the curse. And I know it says a lot, too, about men. But it talks about a foolish woman. And it talks about a woman full of anger, full of contention. Talks about a brawling or a nagging woman. And it even tells you in Proverbs that a nagging woman is like a continual dripping on a rainy day. Have you ever just heard the water maybe coming down the gutter and then dripping and hitting the bottom, just my wife and I stayed in a motel some time back, and there was a faucet in the bathroom that wouldn't shut off. It would almost shut off, but it was just dripping. We'd already got in bed and that faucet was just dripping. My wife said to me, I don't believe I can go to sleep with that water dripping like that. I said, I don't believe I can either. So I got up and I went in there. I did my best to shut that faucet off, but I couldn't get it shut off. So I put a towel in the sink and just let it drip on the towel. But that's what it says. A nagging woman is like a continual dripping on a rainy, continual dropping on a rainy day. Talks about a clamorous woman. Talks about a woman without discretion. Talks about a strange woman. And it talks about a simple woman. I mean, there's a lot. If you read through the book of Proverbs, you say, but Brother Newton, what does that have to do with the statement that you made? That you believed it was just as natural and normal for a married woman to nag as it was for her to breathe. Let me get to that. But first, consider the curse that was placed upon the man. You know, God let the man know that he was going to have to be the breadwinner. He's going to have to sweat. He's going to have to work and win the bread by the sweat of his brow, just go out. Did you ever stop to think that a man can be saved and sanctified? But do you know, many times, even though they're saved and sanctified, they chafe. They chafe under the fact that they've got to hear that alarm clock go off. Oh, when that thing goes off, they want to reach over there and maybe they want to throw it, but anyway, they just reach over there and hit that snooze button and say, oh, I just wished I didn't have to get up this morning. Now, friend, just because he chafes under the fact that he's got to get up and grab his pail and go out there and hit another 8 hours or 10 hours working sometime with wicked, ungodly men, I mean, just because he chafes under that doesn't mean that he's not sanctified holy. It's just normal. It's just natural. Because of the fall, that man hesitates, and oh, there's times he'd think, my, if I could just stay home with my wife and the children today. But no, he gets up and he gets his dinner pail. He goes off to work. You know, God placed a curse upon the woman. He did. And sometimes it's hard to just brace up to it and realize it, but you know, when a young girl meets some young man, boy, she just thinks that's the greatest fella that ever walked in shoe leather. Have you seen some of these young ladies that fall in love with a young man? You ought to talk to some of them. Try to talk to them. I mean, they're convinced that they've finally met a perfect individual. And if you try to point anything out to them, they'll come. Why? Man, he's not even like my dad. My dad had so many faults. But I tell you, he's such a perfect individual, and she can't hardly wait to get married. But you know, she's not married very long until she finds out he's just as human as she is. And really, she thinks he's more human than she is. She begins to see his faults and his failings and his shortcomings. And you know that young bride, that woman knows, she knows the Bible says that she's the weaker vessel. She knows the Bible says that her desire would be to her husband and that he would be her master. He would rule over her. He'd be the head of the home. She knows that. And she knows the Bible says that she's to reverence him. She knows the Bible says that she's to be subject to him, submissive to him. She knows the Bible even says that wives are to be obedient to their own husbands. She knows all that. And then she begins to chafe under the fact, hey, I'm not going to play second fiddle to him. Why should I come under him? I'm just as good as he. And so she thinks, well, if I could just take him down a notch or two. If I could just bring him. You know, some people think bring somebody else down, it's going to elevate them. So she begins to point out his flaws and his mistakes and points out all of his failures. And friend, it's just as natural for her to do that as it is for her to breathe. She begins to chafe under the fact that she was the one that took the fruit from the tree and did eat for, and then gave to her husband. And God placed this curse. Now, friend, the reason she acts like that, the reason, you know, one preacher said to me sometime back, he said, Brother Newton, said, I used to sit down and talk over everything with my wife. Said, and this man was not only a preacher, but he was in business, and he was a successful businessman. He said, I used to talk. He said, you know, my wife got the place where she would go contrary-wise to me. If I'd mentioned it, she'd go opposite. And he said, I just got the place where I didn't say nothing. I just went ahead and did what I had to do. I was talking to another preacher. He said, you know, my wife said, I can't believe it. Said, if I would say something's up, she'd declare it's down. Said, she'll take an opposite view no matter what I say or do. What in the world is it that makes a woman want to do that? Friend, it's not because she's carnal. It's because of the fall back under, see. And it's because of the curse that was placed upon her. And she chafes under the fact that she has to come under authority under her husband. You say, well, Brother Newton, what in the world should I do about it? Well, it's a good thing if you take inventory and say, let me find out. Let me find out if I am a nagger. I say again, some women are naggers. I don't even believe they know it. Maybe you ought to take inventory and find out. And friend, if you find out that you're constant, you know, if you want to drive your husband, that fellow I mentioned to begin with, if you want to drive your husband into the arms of another woman, you just constantly be after him, nag, even though it's not right. Yet that's one of the best ways I know to drive your man into the arms of some other woman. So find out if you're a nagger. You know, so much in the church depends upon the home. It does. And friends, so much in the home depends upon the mother. You think of that. Did you know, ladies, God has placed in your hands, He has placed the power within you to either make or break your home? He has. So you said, well, Brother Newton, what am I supposed to do? Well, why don't you do like I mentioned to begin with? Why don't you size the thing up and say, hey, if I'm a nagger, I'm gonna work on this matter. You see, the man has to work on this fact. I'm not going to become a grumbler or growler, and I'm not going to just grumble about the weather and the fact that I have to work. I'm a saved man. I'm sanctified. Thank God I've got a job. And he takes the right attitude and works on the matter, and he brings the bread in. And listen, ladies, you can do the same. You can say, hey, just because this is part of the fall, I don't have to be like, God made me a helpmeet. You know what the word helpmeet means, don't you? I looked it up. It says a helper suitable to her husband. One who gives herself in service to her husband. That's what it says. That's what a helpmeet is. Now, a lot of women want to reverse that. They want to turn around and make their husband the helpmeet. Did you know this would revolutionize our churches? Ladies, if you're fussing and quarreling and nagging and carrying on, and if you men get into the battle and you're fussing and quarreling, your religion won't be any better in the church than it is in the home. And your children can sure see through that. And you come to the church after you've been in a big quarrel and fussing. You come to church and stand up and testify. You're glad God saves and sanctifies you and those children. And goes, So I'm just simply saying to us this morning, ladies, if you're a nagger, own up to it. Recognize that it's something that you can chafe under. If you want to, but it's something you can work on and you can change. You can become a helpmeet. You can become an encourager. You can become someone. And if you only knew the secret, ladies, if you only knew the secret, you have power over your husband that no one else, and you can get anything out of him you want. If you'll stay in the chain of command, and do what God tells you to do in the Word. So, check up. Now, I don't know whether you like this Mother's Day message or not, but this is what God laid on me. Let's stand together. By the way, I want to say one thing in closing. A police officer told me one time he was called out to domestic feud. They were fighting and carrying on. Boy, he was a young fellow. He said, I went in there and I determined, said that man was hitting her and she is hitting back. And said, he said, I went over and grabbed a hold of that man. Said, I said, man, what in the world are you? And he said, all of a sudden turned around and said, that woman was beating me. He said, I don't go into domestic quarrels anymore. Let me tell you something. A woman can nag her husband. She can just get on to him any way she wants to. But you let somebody else come against him, and she'll be the first one to his aid. She'll be right by his side, taking his part. Father, keep us in your care. Bring us back this evening. Help us to preach something so that the men can say amen. And we'll praise you for it. Amen.